Welcome to Women's Cricket Worldwide, the official podcast of Cricket Without Borders. My name is Ken Jacobs, and over the coming weeks, I look forward to bringing you some wonderful interviews with people involved in women's cricket, both locally and from around the world. Well, it's my pleasure today to welcome Tanya Galina to the Cricket Without Borders podcast, and it's a great delight because we'll find out a little bit later on about the Women's World Cup final that was held in 2020 at the MCG. And Tanya is the General Manager, Commercial Operations and Partnerships. And I'm really delighted that you could spare the time, Tanya, at this very, very busy time of year for you. And welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Ken. Really appreciate you having me. And it's nice to be in the G talking about all the amazing events that happen here.
Terrific, thank you. Now, I know that you've been working for over 20 years in sporting clubs and venues, but growing up as a young woman, did you have aspirations to work in sport in those days?
I would not profess to be an athlete, Ken, so I loved watching sport. And as a young girl, I enjoyed writing, and I loved footy and cricket and watching all the sports. And my ambition was to be a journalist, actually, a sports journalist. So I took the time to really apply, I suppose, myself to those subjects at school, and really loved my sport, and ended up doing a Bachelor of Arts at Swinburne. And interestingly, I kind of lost the love of the media component. I just didn't love that element of the course, added some management components to it, and did a placement at Carlton Footy Club when I was at uni. And from that, got a part-time job and kind of, the pathway started to where I am today.
So since then, as you said, you've worked at Carlton Football Club. You also worked at Melbourne Victory and Hawthorn, and now in your role at the MCG. Is there much difference in terms of working across sports like Melbourne Victory, AFL, and the MCG?
Yeah, I think, from a code perspective, AFL has been such a force, I guess, in the Victorian market. And at Carlton Football Club, I was there probably through an era that wasn't that stable in terms of, their success. So I certainly learnt a lot about work ethic and the challenges that come with membership. So I had 7 years there, and I finished up as membership manager, and really took the time to, develop my managerial skills, and moved into Melbourne Victory, who had just come off a championship, actually. So I kind of rode on the coattails a little bit of their membership, and they exploded and had 25,000 members, I think it was, at the time, which was huge, and really spent some time developing their membership program. And then Hawthorn, I spent 11 years there, Ken, which it was big in footy years. That takes a lot out of you. So it's quite demanding, but, four premierships in that time. And I think with codes, footy codes and clubs, you really ride the emotion that is winning and losing. And so much depends on that success in terms of, particularly if you're in a revenue stream around membership or merchandise or commercial. And now we're heading over to MCG. I've been here 4 years. I've had the pleasure of heading up the membership space and managing the reserve, club sport and tourism, and now moved into the commercial space where, it's all about securing major content and relationships with our stakeholders. So here there's not as much emotion clearly with winning or losing, but it's such an amazing venue with so much history that the emotion comes with that a lot of the time.
Did you, quite apart from obviously the job opportunity, but did you find it at all difficult? You mentioned about the emotional attachment to leave a club like Hawthorn after being involved in a period of sustained success. and having a strong attachment and involvement in all of that. Did you find it a little difficult?
Yeah, I think you always clubs have this amazing ability to create great friendships and camaraderie. And even when I was at Carlton and times weren't as amazing, you spend so much time together, you work so hard to achieve a common goal. You certainly do become emotionally attached to it. But from a career perspective, I certainly felt like it was time for me to branch out and try new things. So the head took over the heart, and I'm really glad I did, because I'm thoroughly enjoying the MCC.
So your current role, as I mentioned earlier, General Manager Commercial Operations and Partnerships, can you just drill down a little bit more into exactly what that is? I certainly appreciate it's a big responsibility, but can you perhaps just drill down a little bit further for our listeners?
Sure. It's a role that has the breadth of our commercial partnerships, which is our stakeholders with AFL, Cricket Australia, liaising with them all the time in terms of our partnership. We have partnerships with our stakeholders such as Coca-Cola, so those sponsors. We have 110 corporate suites, so we have people in here all the time for all our events that my team service and take care of and build relationships with. Then we also have communications, our traditional communications, our digital media, so all the social media that you see, all the emails, the website, and all our marketing comes through my department as well, Ken. So a real breadth of touch points, and also our hospitality partner in Delaware North. I manage that relationship with them, make sure that the food is on point for everyone wherever you're having a meal at the G. So I hope I've captured everything, but that's the breadth of it.
So with your role, Tanya, there's no downtime. That's not a seasonal role, cricket no. season, football season, et cetera. It's 12 months of the year.
It is, It surely is. And we've certainly, I suppose, evolved what the MCG has become, I suppose, you know, this entertainment venue. We're certainly the cricket ground, and that will never change. And cricket is evolving, new content all the time. Football obviously takes up, you know, we have 45 to 46 games, home and away games, plus finals. So, no, there's not a dull moment. Maybe gather round when we have a week off in a couple of weeks. But apart from that, it's with concerts and now EPL games and State of Origin, we're certainly, taking on the entertainment arena, that's for sure.
You've touched on my next question about it. Now, the venue, MCG, is now a pure sporting venue. Does that require... the fact that it's not just a pure sporting venue, it's an entertainment venue as well now, does that require any change or variation in skills required for the management and staff that you employ?
Yeah, I think we certainly, you know, and I'll point to Taylor Swift, Ken, and what that did you come along to any of those concerts, Ken?
No, I didn't.
No, didn't get there?
One of my granddaughters did, but
I didn't. Fabulous. Good to hear. Look, in terms of the skill set, our event staff, and we have over 1,200 amazing event staff that you meet and greet and help you within the venue, that doesn't really change. You know, the customer service principals, they know the venue inside out, so that's great. Our hospitality doesn't really change, our offering might in terms of the food, but we certainly have to have a different lens from a executive management and point of view. You know, we're dealing with promoters and a concert stage and a build. So certainly we have to look at it in a different way. And I suppose Taylor Swift, again, was just such an anomaly with, you know, people wanting to be out in Yarra Park and listen in and create that really beautiful environment that ended up happening. So it is just a different lens, learning from the promoter, understanding what they need. But ultimately, we know the venue inside out, and we feel really confident in delivering a great experience.
And with such a large membership base, do you ever receive feedback from members about the types of events that you should or shouldn't be hosting at the ground?
Sometimes we get a little bit of feedback around, I think, more, you know, personal preference about, you know, which soccer team or, but I think we, again, you know, we have a really strong brand. We are the people's ground. We want acts that, you know, or games that fit in with the fact that we want to fill this stadium. So overall, it's really positive, and I don't think we would steer too far away from the kind of acts we've or events we've had before.
Well, I see that that next season, the next cricket season, there's going to be a day-night women's test match at the MCG, which will be terrific. But if we can go back in time, just sort of four short years ago, to the ICC Women's World Cup final, T20 World Cup final, attended by 86,154 people on the 8th of March, that was an amazing event.
It's amazing that was 4 years ago, Ken. It was such a, it gets thrown around, but an iconic moment. It was, again, when you talk about atmosphere, just you felt like it was a significant moment for women's sport, which it was. Were you here, Ken, for this one?
Yes,
I did. Yes, good. I thought cricket might be more down your alley. And it just, look, I think from our point of view, we knew that we had a role to play in elevating women's cricket. We worked really closely with Cricket Australia in promoting the event, and it just, I think it created that moment in time that people just will refer to forever. And the fact that we broke so many records in terms of spectators and, it just demonstrated the popularity of women's cricket and where we can go, really. And now we've seen it with the Matildas, and we continue to see it even across netball and different sports where women are dominating, which is
Did that match, the World Cup final, present any special challenges to you at all?
Again, I think it's not particularly. I think we knew we were going to have it became a bit of an entertainment spectacular and a cricket match, but no, not really. People were so, I think the happiness and just the joy of the event, from my memories of it, there weren't real challenges at all. It was more about, you know, ensuring everyone has a great experience and we get an amazing crowd in here, really, numbers-wise, and we did.
And following the that event, there was a two-part documentary series produced, as I understand, around sort of behind the scenes of the Australian women's cricket team and the event and so forth, and it's been released on Amazon Prime. Can you perhaps tell us a little bit about that?
The Record, it was called, and I love documentaries, and they're doing way more of them now because just being able to see behind the scenes and I guess what the challenges are for women's teams in sport, how they, their dedication, their triumphs, you know, their challenges, it really encaptured all of those things and the spirit of what was the lead up to this point in time. I think the filmmakers did an incredible job. We as the MCC Foundation contributed financially to it. So we felt like we're really proud to you know, be able to support a documentary that will live forever. So people's kids and grandkids can reflect on that moment too.
Most definitely. It was certainly a very special occasion. Without giving away any trade secrets, how far ahead generally do you look around the opportunities it might be to host a special event, be it a Taylor Swift, or I gather you're looking years ahead, but how do you plug into that to see what's going on around the world and what might be of interest to the venue?
Yeah, it's actually just it's like putting together a bit of a jigsaw puzzle, because I think, as I mentioned earlier, we have two amazing stakeholders in the AFL and Cricket Australia, and we've got to make sure that we, you know, our beloved turf is on point. So we look at, I'm looking at the end of 25 into 2026 currently. So you're that 18 months without really having a schedule for cricket, right? So we are now very strategic in the sense of we know we probably won't have more than one or two concerts a year. They will be significant. We will want to fill the venue. So promoters reach out and talk to us about opportunities. A lot of the time we can't, I guess, fulfil some of the dates they want because of the commitments we have. But, yeah, it's a long way out, Ken, and half the time I'm thinking this isn't going to land or will this actually happen, and a lot of the time it doesn't. But when you land a Taylor Swift or an Ed Sheeran or a Billy Joel, you're pretty excited about that, yeah.
Absolutely. We're now in the middle of the AFL season, and yes. We've already had some large attendances, and you've got matches this coming weekend over Easter, and then then Anzac Day is obviously a big day as well, and then yes. The finals. Are there any matches or weeks of the season that you find perhaps more enjoyable than others in working towards? Mm-hmm.
I think round one is always just that anticipation. You just feel it building week on week. We know that we're going to have, you know, probably 80,000 here for Richmond Carlton. Essendon and Hawthorn have built a rivalry. We had Collingwood unfurl their premiership flag. So round one for me is always, you know, I always think as a football lover, you know, you start again, doesn't matter where you finished last year. So that anticipation's there, and Victorians certainly love their footy, so they get to the G. Anzac Day is just such a special, and Anzac Eve, I think, you know, credit to the AFL, have made that such a beautiful ceremony pre-game. I love Dreamtime. You know, we've got some really, really special games here. You know, Fight M&D for Neil has become such an iconic day as well. But every week is different. I think you just never know what you're going to get. There's some rivalries that are, you know, not as big crowd-wise, but, you know, can get a little bit spicy sometimes, which is always interesting when there's a rivalry. I love the week in, week out of you never know what you're going to get at the footy. So nothing particularly special, but, you know, there's one out of the box. But, you know, I think if I bookended it with round one to finals, it's, yeah.
And we may have already touched on a couple of these in previous questions, but throughout your career to date, Tanya, with Carlton, Hawthorn, Melbourne Victory, and now the MCG, are there any events that sort of stand out to you that and you can sort of stand back or sit back and think we really nailed that we got that done really well?
Yeah, I think on the club side of things, you're kind of controlling the PR, the marketing, the experience from what's happening on field, whether you're celebrating. I mean, I recall I was working, I'm going to show my age, but I was working at Carlton when it was the last game at Princes Park, and I don't know if you recall the John Nicholls holding the ball up to Kuta, yes. And, you know, being part of significant moments like that, and then obviously Hawthorn, you know, being part of premierships here and building that membership up above 80,000, just creating those moments for people. I think I always talk about footy being and sport in general being an outlet from just general life and being able to provide those moments. Melbourne Victory, I was only there for a year, but I felt like there was just this momentum build. I must admit, when there was no goal scored, I kind of felt like, oh, goodness me, what's going on here? But, they had this, you know, momentum building from a crowd and membership point of view. And then over the past 4 years, 2 years of COVID here for me, I guess, in a way, Ken. So that was really challenging for the whole world, I guess. But here, coming back after COVID, I still recall that first game, Richmond Carlton, and it was really spine-tingling in terms of just people being so emotional about being back at the footy. Still vividly remember that. There's heaps of moments and games, but I think I'm just so passionate about providing that experience and giving people that outlet to enjoy sport.
And the stadium itself, the MCG, iconic venue in Australia and around the world, and it's had a number of upgrades over the years in terms of various stands and so forth. I imagine that is also an ongoing process that you're constantly reviewing the facilities at the stadium and what's required and what's best practice and so forth.
You sure are, Ken. I mean, technology is probably the biggest play now. Certainly, I mean, we keep evolving here at the G when it comes to, and I think we touched on concerts and entertainment. We spent, you know, $25 million on a new PA system. You know, it's literally one of the best in the world. Our screens, they're getting upgraded again next year. We have new technology at our gates. So we have what's called Evolve system, which means you don't need to be wandered by a security guard. You can just walk through, a bit like when you're at the airport and it scans you automatically. Again, that's about efficiency, safety, making sure people get into the venue really quickly, but making sure we're doing all the right things. We now have new turnstiles. They got installed late last year where it's like tap and go. So we're forever evolving. We constantly look at what's happening around the world, making sure that we keep up. And, you know, new facilities, we've got a new bar in the Ponsford Atrium Bar. We've upgraded the Betty Cuthbert in the Olympic stand. So, yeah, we're always looking at what's new and what we can provide a great experience for our fans.
And across all of those things you need to consider, is there any element of managing such a large stadium that is perhaps a little bit more difficult than a smaller stadium?
I think I always look at our facilities team and think, wowee, you've got a lot to do, you know, especially, you know, if you think about four games over a weekend, the cleaning, the maintenance, seats being broken, it's continual, Ken. I think that's always a challenge. And you know, making sure that it is a safe venue, so making sure that we, the OHNS, everything's on point, it's huge, as you know. And I think if you actually sat down and thought about it, the pure scope of it is a challenge.
And I know that you're very busy, and I appreciate your time. I'm just going to go off track a little bit here, but in my research, I noticed that you served as a non-executive director at Vic Sport for a period of 3 years.
I
ask you why you did that, took on that role, Tanya?
Yeah, I'm certainly interested in community sport. I have a real passion for women's sport, and I actually got approached through one of the ex-directors, and I just took time to think about the fact that, one, they were looking at their membership program and how they could evolve that and what it entailed, and I thought that that's a really good fit for me, having worked in a membership role for so long. And I think it really opened my eyes, one, to directorship. It was my first go at it. And just understanding the work that gets done across community sport in general, and the challenges that come with that. So I felt like I could have an impact, Ken, I felt like. And hopefully I did, and I really enjoyed my time there and still connected in a few different ways with some.
And one final question, if I may, regarding the MCG and the Australian Sports Museum is based at the ground.
Thank you for the plug. We love this, yes.
Well, absolutely. I'm more than happy to give a plug. I took a couple of my grandchildren through there late last year, and I could have stayed there all day. We thoroughly enjoyed it. It really opened my eyes. I hadn't been there for some time, but that
Yes.
That is a wonderful, I'll call it addition to the ground for the stadium.
Yes, it's, it's probably a hidden gem, I call it. In 2020, we reopened after what we call a refurb. I call it a major renovation in terms of making all the screens digital. And it's all about really learning about sport and the impact that sport has had on Australia, the world. There's such a breadth of sporting information, as you know, Ken, across so many sports over so many years, generational. It's so interactive. You get a wristband that has a chip in it that you scan around the museum, and you can challenge your friends on different activities and see how skillful you are. It's not just for kids, I tell you. Adults get lost in there as well, and it's open every day. You can jump on a tour and add the museum on as well, and we're finding our numbers are increasing all the time, getting the word out there, and now that international tourists are back, we're so pleased to have that cohort coming through as well.
Terrific. Well, that's a nice note to end on, and as I said, I know you're busy, and I very much appreciate your time and joining
us. My pleasure.
Joining us today. Thanks, Tanya.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for tuning in to another episode of our Cricket Without Borders podcast. Please make sure you follow the show in your podcast app so that you don't miss an episode. Or please follow us on social media or on our website, www.cricketwithoutborders.com.au. Thank you, and look forward to tuning in for our next episode.